Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Oh, so good. So good, so good, so good. I love it.
I needed this.
I needed it.
In your eyes. Friday, everybody.
Man, what a great way to start.
Friday, USOB.
The weekend.
Hey, welcome to the weekend, everybody.
Hope you have a great one. Now enjoy this one from the Culture Club with my boy, Boy George.
Love it.
Go ahead and let this breathe.
You come and go. You come and go.
Here we go.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah. Great weekend. Way to start today, man. That just gets me energized.
Weekend is right here.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's going to be a good one and a lot to do. Get out, do it, enjoy it. We got a lot to react to today. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, which, as you know by now, gives you a chance. Great listeners, great 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch on the fan. To get some stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend, things you want to weigh in on, opine, criticize, praise. Hopefully some of it's funny. It can be scathing. It can be about anything. Just hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. So should I just get this out of the way, the obligatory, is it just me or do the Nuggets have the Lakers right where they want them?
That was a wah-wah-wah. I tell you what though, one, completely impressed with Murray, what he's done in this bubble and the way he has played and the way he played last night, absolutely amazing. And, I tell you the other thing that's amazing, and I know there's a lot of people that love to hate LeBron, right? And I understand why. You know, I get why you love to hate the guy and because he's, you know, bounced around from team to team, you know, chasing championships and all that kind of stuff, but, when push comes to shove, 17-year veteran says, hey, man, I'm the one checking Murray. Give it to me. And, yeah, did he foul him a couple times? Absolutely. But, yeah.
Oh, that was part of the strategy.
Right.
Strategy was he knew what we all knew. They're not going to call fouls on me.
Right.
So I can get away with whatever I want.
Yeah.
And it's smart. That's smart.
Yep.
For all the people whining about the officiating, that's smart. And I hope the Nuggets get to a point where they're established enough, and they have a rep, and they're the ones getting the calls, and they do something like that, because it would be smart.
And I hope, here's what I don't want to hear, because I can already see it coming up on the text line. Oh, way to go, whining about the officiating, and then you get to the foul line 14 times, that's, you know, I don't want to hear that. You didn't lose because of foul shot. You didn't lose because of the complaining of the officiating, all right? I'm just telling you that right now. That was on both sides, I thought it was a pretty well played game. Some big shots made, the competition was great. And, you know, at the end of the day, especially the fourth quarter, man, the defensive intensity of the Lakers ratcheted up to the point where they created turnover. Mike, you know what a game comes down to for me? And I don't have any stats sitting in front of me. Just the number of turnovers the Lakers forced. And I don't know where their turnover numbers are, but in critical situations, they continue to force turnovers. They continue to turn the Nuggets over. And, like, they do a phenomenal job of that. And then when they turn it over, man, they want to run. And even Michael Malone. Even Michael Malone talked about them not being as good a half-court team. We've got to keep them in a half-court game and not let them run. And they created enough turnovers to get easy buckets because they were able to turn those into, fast break opportunities. And I kept seeing it over and over. Again, I don't know what the stats say, but that's what I kept seeing.
You know, I call on Nuggets Media, state-sponsored Nuggets Media, whether it be the print, radio, TV. You got to be more responsible. And I'm sorry if this, I'm going to lecture you, but too bad. This whole narrative, and it was all over the place last night about the officiating. do you realize how small time that makes us look when everything is about the officiating and just whining about the officiating? And if all you do is go out and continue to push that narrative instead of dealing with the real reasons why they lost the basketball. They lost this basketball game because the Lakers were plus 21 on second chance points. When this was a game at the end, you're letting Rajon Rondo sneak in to get an offensive rebound. Right. How many possessions of the Lakers ended up lasting 45, 50 seconds because they were able to get a couple of offensive rebounds? That's why you lost. You lost this game because Nikola Jokic in the last two games has scored as many fourth quarter points as you and I have. That's a fact. Nikola Jokic, no points in the fourth quarter in the last game, no points in the fourth quarter last night.
Listen, here's the official stats. The Lakers went to the foul line 28 times. You went 20 times. That's not a huge, that's a discrepancy, but it's not a huge discrepancy, Mike. All right. Here it is. 41 rebounds to 33 rebounds, 12 offensive rebounds to 6 offensive rebounds, 9 steals. 9 times. And those 9 steals, man, they're on the fast break. They lead the easy buckets.
Here's George Karl on Twitter last night. We'll talk to the coach at 8:30. But here's what he said. This is, I don't know, it's from a guy who knows a little something about hoops. Nuggets were soft tonight, especially Jokic and some of the bench guys. I want more angry and physical presence. Mm. And George is a Nugget fan. I don't see any comments here about the officiating.
No.
So just, it's infuriating. I get it. Folks, that's the NBA. It's been that way for ever. Okay? So you gotta stop with it because it's really kind of a pathetic look. It just is. You know, you want this team, you want this city to be taken seriously as a basketball market, right? Well, if all you're gonna do is whine about officiating when that's not the reason you lost the game, it makes you look like Hooterville. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but you know, at some point you got to put on your big boy basketball fan pants,
right,
and big boy basketball media pants. So, you know, I just call on Nuggets state-sponsored media today to just not fall into the lazy narrative of just blaming the officiating.
I guess
look in the mirror.
Right. I guess okay. I'll go to.
I want to be a real boy.
I'll go to the text line right now, really quick. Because this is the thing that bothers me about when you start blaming officiating. I'm not saying we lost. This is from 7730, and I appreciate you texting it. I'm not saying we lost because of the refereeing, but you have to admit it was horrendous. Were you admitting that it was horrendous when it was lopsided from a free throw standpoint the game before?
Last two games, two and three.
Yeah. Nugget fan going, this officiating is horrendous.
Hey,
all the calls are going our way.
Did you hear fans after games two and three, especially after they won game three, did you hear any Nugget fan saying, boy, it's a good thing we got a friendly whistle because that's the only reason we won? No, it never came up. It never comes up in a win. It only comes up in a loss. Come on.
So you've been thoroughly admonished.
Yeah.
Way to go, Mike.
Sorry, I had to admonish.
Way to go, Dad.
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
For some of you Nugget fans, I'm very disappointed in you.
Oh, man, that hurts.
I'm very disappointed in you.
Very
disappointed in your behavior.
Now sulk back off to your bedroom, hit the snooze button, and weep yourself to sleep.
Is it just me, Friday? As we look ahead to Broncos Bucks, Mark's done his deep dive into the defenses. And he's got some interesting observations to share with you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me or nobody is a more optimistic Bronco fan than your wife, Lisa. I love how she said, yeah, these first two games, just kind of like a run through.
Right.
You know, just like a dress rehearsal.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Just working out the kinks.
Yes. Just,
you know,
just like all the, you know, when you're calling a game, Mike, you get these notes. I mean, it's just loads every day. You get a packet of everybody who's written an article, or I'm sure I've got a blog from you in there. And what I do, it's just, it would literally take me 2 hours every day to read it. So I send it to my daughter, who is a huge sports fan. She's awesome. She reads through them. She cuts and pastes them and gives me the spark notes on the actual notes. She does it for me. She does it for Aikman. She does it for a couple of people. So, I mean, it just makes it, you know, it's 20 minutes of reading as opposed to 2 hours, or 30 minutes of reading as opposed to 2 hours. So she summarizes it all for me. And I don't know what you're supposed to say. The amount of, hey, we're just a few mistakes away. Hey, we're pretty close. Like, it just is like this, like to me, really digging into these first two games, the scores have been close. The games, not so much, but the scores have been close.
Yeah, you're right. In both instances, it was like, holy smokes, I can't believe they're actually in a position to win this game.
Right. And
it didn't feel like it.
It didn't. And, you know, you're honestly, here's where you stand right now if you're a Broncos fan. And I appreciate you played hard and you and all those things. And I know that we have a lot of injuries and, you know, I'm also one of those guys that's not going to blame officiating and it's hard to, you know, the injury thing is real. I get it, especially at the quarterback position, but you know, we knew that Drew Lock was going to have some growing pains as well, right? I mean, that was part of the process. So I get that it hurts, but you can't use it as an excuse. I did two Bronco podcasts yesterday, as the guy calling this game, and they brought up, you know, both podcasts brought up the injuries, and I'm like, you got to understand, I was doing one with Steve Atwater, love Steve, one of my favorite people of all time. And I'm like, you know, our journeys were different, Steve. We were both drafted in 1989. You were a first rounder. I was a 10th rounder. You were going to get an opportunity to play. I had to wait for somebody to get hurt. And once they got hurt, I seized an opportunity. And then I started for 12 years. And, you know, the point being is that you can look at this as, oh, woe is us. We're snake bitten. You know, there's nothing we can do. Or you can look at this as, hey, we got some young players who can play, and it's your opportunity to step up and lead your team. You know, Shelby Harris, one of the things that was a little bit shocking or concerning, I guess, was Shelby Harris says, you know, we need to change the culture of our football team. That, you know, in one of the articles, that bothers me a little bit. Like, what's the culture? Are you just guys used to losing? You expect to lose? What is the culture? I don't know exactly what that means, but you know, that's something you gotta, if you come from the perspective of, hey, we're really close, we just gotta tweak a few things and make a few, you know, you don't make plays in critical situations because you're not good enough to make plays in critical situations. You know what I'm saying? That's what it boils down. Like the teams that think they're close, you know, the teams that are 6-10, 7-9 every single year that think they're close, they're not. Yeah, they win some games, but they're not close because they don't make plays in critical situations. You look at the Broncos, a missed field goal. You look at the Broncos, a muffed punt. You look at the Broncos, you know, a turnover off the hands of Courtland Sutton. You look at the seven sacks. You look at all the, hey, you're down in the red zone and you got a touchdown and you take a sack instead of it, right? You look at all the different scenarios. Like at some point, you've got to take ownership of that and say, hey, we're not good enough to make those plays. How are we going to fix that? How are we going to change that? So, anyhow, that's just some general observations why you study film and why you read all these articles that, you know, it's just different than the way, I guess it's a little bit different than the way I was brought up in the league and a little bit different than the way I was taught to think.
RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Is it just me or should Mark's wife not only start picking the other team, but she should make dishes famous from the city we're playing against. So let's say when they play the Jets next week, New York, maybe make like a
struggling
New York style pizza or something. You know, when they play the Saints, make some jambalaya, po'boys.
I am hotter than a red pepper.
Etouffee, right?
Yeah.
So maybe a good suggestion. I don't know what you would make for Tampa. I don't know.
Tampa?
What are they,
what are they famous for?
What are they famous for?
I don't know. Every city I go to, I get a steak.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is it just me or is Mark going to work in a specific word or phrase into Sunday's telecast to give a subtle nod to us Denver radio listeners?
Oh, yeah. I could certainly do
that. We did that, last couple of years.
Yes, let me know. Let me know what phrase you want me. Let me know the phrase that pays on a Friday here. Right?
Yes. All right, we'll take your suggestions on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. A phrase that Mark works in to the broadcast that is just
a nod to all of our listeners.
Yep.
All right, we'll work on that.
Work on that.
Hey, by the way, you did ask me on the deep dive aspect of digging into the defense and really looking at the defensive tape from the Broncos. And there's a couple things that really stand out, Mike. You know, the amount of just pitch a tent over the backside of the defense, the amount of too high safety looks, the amount of quarters, from a coverage, the amount of zone coverage played is, you know, they're going to rely on the front seven to stop the run because basically Vic Fangio is going to try to play a zone and try to tackle you underneath and make you put 10, 12 plays together, you know, to score. I think a couple things stand out. Underneath coverage is still a little bit of an issue. Athleticism at the linebacker position, you know, the crossing routes, trying to follow the crossing routes, still a bit of an issue. Some guys get lost a little bit, still a bit of an issue. But the biggest issue that was consistent watching the film is we cannot rush the passer with four guys. I mean, remember now, the Steelers lost an offensive, right? They lost a starting off. Did they lose their starting right tackle?
Yes. Bruce Banner.
Their backup right tackle. I mean, and no offense, I know that Bradley Chubb is coming back from injury, right? And I understand that he's not quite there, but I wrote a note to myself, Velcro. I mean, he looks like he lacks the explosiveness to turn a corner right now. And then when he goes to bull rush, he looks like he's lacking the ultimate power.
Yeah, he's a shell.
Really run
he's a shell of what he...
He runs into guys.
Was,
and
needs to be.
They just lock him down.
Yep.
And there was one, I did a video on, and it was where Ben Roethlisberger threw an interception. It was a really nice catch by Justin Simmons. Really nice catch. But Ben Roethlisberger, they rushed four, Mike. I can show you the video. 7 seconds he held onto the ball. Seven seconds. I mean, it was, you're getting blocked, 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 you're still getting blocked, you're getting blocked, you're getting blocked. Like, there was not one guy got off a block. 7 seconds, and then he threw a pick. Like, how do you throw a pick when you got 7 seconds to throw it? But, yeah, it was, that was one of the things that was the most shocking to me.
Okay, again, a lot of phrases that pay for Mark to use during the broadcast. I like this one. He's as soft as my radio producer's ribs.
And then throw the video up of me smashing him.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, they definitely will get you, make you a star, make you a national TV star. All right. Coming up, we've got the morning brew for you. Can they do it again? I mean, they've done it twice. They've already made history. Can they just add to that history? The Nuggets down now 3-1. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy.
It's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Jamal plays 45 minutes. I've played him, I think, the last three games, including tonight, have been 45 tonight, 44, 43. I'm running the poor kid into the ground, but when I take him out, things seem to go sideways in a hurry. He's getting, you know, Danny Green, Caldwell Pope, Rondo, Caruso, and now LeBron. And that's the ultimate sign of respect.
Jamal Murray was just, I hate throwing around, you know, great or superstar. I think he gets overused, but he was surreal last night. Now, his number one highlight was put the Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah. Shot in the NBA Finals against the Lakers where he's up in the air and he switches the ball from the right hand to the left hand and lays it in. Put those two plays side by side and you know what? They look almost identical. They really do. But you could have easily taken Murray's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth best highlights from last night and they would be most players' top moment of the year. I mean, he was unbelievable. Too bad Nikola Jokic didn't come along for the ride. Nikola Jokic, 0 points in the fourth quarter of the last two games. But the officiating, the officiating.
Right, yeah, at some point you can't defer. At some point you got to take control. And that's the one thing that Murray has been doing. And, you know, I'm always one of those guys say, hey, let me see you do it. You know, for a long period of time, not just in the bubble. Let me make sure you have consistency. But I'll just say this. And Michael Malone is correct.
Michael Malone is correct?
Correct, yeah. The fact that they rotated five different guys to try to cover him.
Yeah.
Just try to stop him. And it finally came down to LeBron. That dude is like the ultimate respect from other teams. He is just... That guy's grown leaps and bounds. He deserves a better nickname than the Blue Arrow. A real name. And not Six Flags anymore either.
And folks, please. We're getting bombarded with criticisms about the officiating. Folks, this is the way it's been. Okay? The NBA's always been this way. Superstars get the calls. Teams like the Lakers get the calls. If you're a team like the Nuggets, you got to look to the Spurs as a team that eventually...
Broke through,
and then they were the ones that got the calls. Their day will come where they're going to be playing teams in series, and their fan base and their media will be crying about, oh, my God, you can't touch Jokic. Oh, my God, anytime Murray comes into the lane, you breathe on him, he gets a call. That day will come, but they're not there yet. So stop crying about it and maybe focus more on why your superstar Jokic hasn't scored in the fourth quarter or why you gave up plus 21 second chance points. Why Rajon Rondo, all 6-1 of him, is getting a key offensive rebound late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That needs to be the storyline. Stop whining about the officiating. It's a bad look. It really is. It's a bad look, and you as fans are better than that. Next on the Morning Brew.
What I liked the most was he was tough. He stood in there. He generally executed what we wanted to get done. You know, he had some mistakes, certainly. But, you know, I think even though there were a few bad plays there, I mean, he really made some really good throws.
There's Pat Shurmur talking about Jeff Driskel. Expect to see anything different from the Broncos offense this week now that Driskel's had a full week to prepare?
I hope so.
Specifically?
Yeah, well,
what?
I hope that they change their personnel grouping. I hope that in critical situations, Melvin Gordon gets the ball. I hope that they get into more two and three tight end formations. They can dance and they protect their edges a little bit. They give their tackles some help. They give their old line some help. If you think you're going to go out and play out of 11 and spread and trips and speed trips and doubles and you think you're going to do that, you know what you're going to get against Tampa? You're going to give up another 7 sacks and another 20 hits. You're going to get another quarterback injured. So I hope that that's the game plan. I don't know that to be, you know, I don't know that to be factual, but at least that's, you know, my thing is from a protection standpoint, Mike, everybody will blame the offensive line. It takes a village to be crappy in, like it takes a village to be crappy in protection. Okay. So it takes your quarterback not to understand the situation, not to know where the blitz is coming from, not to know when he's hot. It takes your offensive coordinator to not to not protect your guys, to not get the ball out quick enough, or to not use extra blockers to defend the pass rush, and then it takes an offensive line that is just oblivious to what's going on. All three of those things happened on Sunday.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Certainly delighted for so many people that were able to announce the resumption of play following our decision back in August to postpone. And this has been the result of what we said back in August, that we'd follow the science, follow the data, follow the advice from our medical experts, and that we know how badly our student-athletes want to compete as student-athletes for the Pac-12.
Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, with the announcement that the Pac-12 is going to start up with football November 6th. Couple that with the Mountain West starting up in October 24th. They're going to start up CU and CSU football. How we feel about that, fans?
Ultimate dudes.
We excited?
Two dudes.
It's all about following the science, right?
It's what it's science.
It's all about. I don't know. I heard a couple of commissioners say this has nothing to do with money, which the translation to that is this has everything to do with money. I am glad. I, for one, am happy. And it's like Joel Klatt has said many times when he's come on here, that probably the safest place you can probably be is kind of in that quote-unquote football bubble. I know it's not a real bubble, but being tested every day, being monitored every day, being, you know, held accountable every day, it's probably a far safer environment for you to be in. So I, for one, am happy it's coming back, and good. I'm glad it should come back. I believe that.
Yes, and whatever decisions are made should be representative of what's happening at that time. Now, you know, it was why I thought there was too much of a knee-jerk reaction when it came to some of the high school sports around here.
Right.
Same thing with college football. There's nothing that says that if things start to really trend badly the other way that you can't stop it. But you should take what's happening at that time and react to that rather than, well, this is what could possibly happen, and this is why we
to say that you're following the science, and again, I'm not following it as closely as maybe I should be, but to say you're following the science when you opened up your schools and then you had to immediately shut them down because all the kids were partying and a bunch of people got sick doesn't feel like you're following the science to me. Right? Does that make sense? So, again, I don't, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to bash on the NCAA. I like that you're back. I don't believe you, but I like that you're back.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Cecil Lammy joins us for his unique perspective on what he sees happening with the Broncos. Can they avoid the 0-3 start? Can they pull off the upset? They're a big underdog at home. We'll talk to him coming up next. And here is Cecil Lammy, who joins us now. Cecil, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
It's going good, Cece. It's going really good. How do the Broncos overcome all these injuries? How do they find a way to get a win with all these injuries on Sunday?
Yeah, well, first off, on the defensive side, they need to create more pressure. Ed Donatell talked about it yesterday, where they got to change some things up. If that means blitzing more, fine. Like, you can't just keep doing what you're doing, not getting any pressure, barely having any sacks. What, two sacks in two games? Like, that's not going to cut it. We know that Tom Brady can look mortal if you get the pressure on him. So how do the Broncos apply that pressure? What are they going to do to be exotic with any sort of blitz packages? That's what we saw from the Steelers last week. Certainly this in the house at times. So, you know, can the Broncos change that up a little bit, at least from what Ed Donatell said? It seems like that's a possibility. On the flip side of that, it's time for Melvin Gordon to show up. It's time for I'm sick and tired of this. Like, yeah, well, he had 70 yards against the Steelers. Like, yeah. Where's the 100 yards? Where's the wins? Like, you know, let's see this guy pay off with that money that the Broncos have given him. So really offensively, because of the limitations that you'll have with Jeff Driscoll, although there are ways to attack that secondary. As you know, Stink, that secondary is full of trees, but those guys like Carlton Davis and stuff, they're, you know, maybe a little bit more rigid athletically. So get some speed guys out there. See what Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. I really like using Noah Fant more than just a half. please? At least Pat Shurmur was asked about that yesterday and did have to answer for that, although it sounded like he just made more excuses like, oh, it's good for a half. Like, no, Noah Fant should be used the entire game, just like Darren Waller was on Monday night for the Raiders. So I think there's some changes that they can do, but they don't have much of a chance to win this game, let's be honest.
All right, back to the lack of sacks. Bradley Chubb is a shell of himself right now. Is it a case where they need to let him just play himself back into shape, back into form, or do they need to shut him down and get him right?
Well, I think maybe a more limited role. You know, this stinks because they don't have any depth, right? So you'd say, well, you know, just make him a pass rusher, right? Bring him on as a part-time guy like you would an older player, let's say. But can you really afford to do that? You know, he is a shell of himself. What are we going to put the number at? 80%, right? He's about 80%, maybe, but he's still not even a year removed from the injury, let alone the surgery. And, you know, he's not everybody's a freak like Adrian Peterson that can come back in 9 months. So with Bradley Chubb, I mean, the idea would be lower the number of snaps, put him on that pitch count, that snap count we always talk about. But then you think, well, boy, they don't really have anybody behind him. You know, it's not like Malik Reed's doing anything. I like Jerry Attachow as that veteran guy, you know, that veteran. He's your Sean Phillips, right, for the 2020 season.
Maybe they can lean on Shaq. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they can lean on the guy that led the league in sacks. And by the way, entering the season with no sacks himself, however, against this Broncos team, and I talked to Shaq about a month ago on our show at night, and he said he had this thing circled on the calendar. Levante David told James Palmer, you know, he knows that Shaq Barrett is a dog, but this week his preparation is even higher, and he can't wait to see him against his old team. So I think Shaq Barrett will have something to say. And hopefully, again, they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to send some blitzes. They're going to have to send corners. Like, they're just going to have to get pressure and get sacks some other way because, you know, sending four is not getting it done.
Yeah, you know, by the way, just so you know, yeah, sacks are always the measurement stick, right? And I put a right. tape together for my crew, my Fox crew, of how great Shaq Barrett is playing right now. He is mm-hmm. dispensing justice on the edge. Now, he hasn't gotten to the quarterback. He hasn't gotten home, and sacks are like bananas. They come in bunches. But I'm telling you, from a run defense standpoint and from an edge-setting standpoint, the guy has been sublime. He has been great. So, you know, it's not always just sacks. Okay, so let me take it to the other side, Cecil. You got Shaq. You got JPP. You've got Vita Vea. You've got Ndamukong Suh, who had two sacks and was all over the place. Golston is playing really good right now up front. You got two of the fastest linebackers that I have ever watched. As a matter of fact, Devin White, I said the other day, he plays with a rocket strapped up his ass. I mean, the guy is flying around. It is frightening. So how are you going to block, like, for you, how are you going to block this? How are you going to block this front of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? If you gave up seven to the Steelers, and I'm telling you, I think this front that they're going to play, I think this front seven that they're playing this weekend is better than the one they played last weekend.
Yes, yeah, I would say that overall, if you take all seven in consideration, and mainly because of those two inside linebackers, like Devin White's playing better than Devin Bush. And the problems that you saw with Devin Bush last week in coverage, you're not going to see from Devin White this week. Then Levante David, the guy that was picked after Brock Osweiler. And I had the Broncos mocked for Levante David years ago in 2012. But either way, we could lament the draft for years and years on this show. We won't do that, but you look at this front seven, you would think draw plays and screen passes, football 101. Here comes Melvin Gordon. You know, here comes a little Royce Freeman dump off pass. But that speed and the discipline, I think that those guys, not only athletically very gifted, and we can go over the spark numbers for Devin White if you want to, but I think it's also their discipline. They don't waste a lot of steps. They're not out there running around overrunning plays. They don't have to make up ground because of what they've done with their eyes and lacking discipline. They're incredibly smart. They're incredibly disciplined players up front, and they play together as a unit. So, again, football 101 says draw plays and screen passes. I don't know how much that's going to work against this front seven. The secondary is where you can pick, but will you have time to get there? Will you have time to pick on those trees in the secondary, those rigid guys in the secondary? I'm not sure if you will.
All right, Cecil, thank you. We'll talk to you Sunday morning. We'll hear from you Sunday morning as part of our pregame show.
All right, be good, fellas.
Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Coming up, Mark has been just deep diving into all of the film, Bucks and Broncos. He'll give you his keys to a Broncos victory. Can he find any? And is it fair to blame the officiating for what happened to the Nuggets last night? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.